Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been hospitalized? Well, yes, we all have, and we all know it's certainly not fun. My husband just recently had knee replacement surgery, so we spent 4 or 5 days in the hospital. That was a tough one. Would you like to learn more about what can make you healthier in 2014? Would you like to know what you can do starting today to make for a healthier future? Have you ever wanted to know why Americans take too many drugs? I think that's something we all know, it happens, but the question is, why does it happen? Can you imagine changing your career from a pharmacist to a health educator? Tell me, do you know what the pharmaceutical companies have done to this country? Have you ever heard about a fantastic book called Laughter, the Drug of Choice? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to be healthier in 2014? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. He's been on the show before, and he is a fabulous success coach. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about getting healthier. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio Talk and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. But now let me tell you about my guest today. He is a community pharmacist, Toastmaster, national keynote speaker, columnist, broadcaster, and global volunteer. He lives, loves, and laughs in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome back to the show, Nick Hazel. How are you today?
Well, thank you very much, January, and a happy January to you. We're all talking about the weather here. I know. Maybe you aren't there, but it's going to go up to 24 tomorrow, so it's like going to be like a tropical heat wave.
Okay.
Which reminds me of a story I recently heard about. This fellow who he was told by the Weather Channel with a travel warning due to the snowfall that he should, when traveling, to carry with him a shovel, mm-hmm. 24 hours worth of food, mm-hmm. road flares, and a first aid kid, and finally he said, I look like an idiot when I got on the bus this morning. The other one was, another guy said he was 65 years old, but with a windshield he felt like 90. I can relate to that.
Well, you know, everyone is talking about the weather. This has been just such an amazing winter. You know, I never remember winter storms being given names before. When did that start?
This is a new one that they just came up with. It. Arctic something. I forget what it is.
Well, they always used to give hurricanes names, and I was used to that. But now all of a sudden, all the storms. Do you have any tips or advice for people who are listening to us and they're in these situations where they've lost their power? Of course, they probably wouldn't be listening to us then. But, I mean, just any survival tips for cold weather people?
Well, I must confess that the last few summers have been mild here, so we're caught off guard. And, of course, I'm in the lower part of Ohio. I can imagine those people sitting watching a football game in Green Bay. Extremely frigid. They couldn't pay me to do that. I even had today, this morning, I had to get my car out, and I had double gloves on, and I still couldn't stand out there for longer than maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I had to come back in the house. So I don't know how some people cope. I guess just trial and error, find out what works best for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Michigan, and I can remember as a child walking to school, and your eyes would be watering, and the water would turn to ice on your cheeks before you got to school. And I was so distressed to see that so many people in Michigan had been without power. They're in our thoughts and prayers, because this is a rough, rough winter for everyone. Now, you talk about changing your careers from a pharmacist to a health educator. At what age were you when you changed careers?
Well, I retired from Kroger's when I was 65, and then I hung on doing part-time work. I love to be involved. I once made wrote in a Drug Topics magazine, which is national to pharmacists, that I would work for nothing, everything being equal, because I loved it. I love pharmacy so much, and I'm still working about once every other week now. They call me when they need me, when they can't find anybody else. And I like to keep my hands in it, but then I got more time because I used to work 60 hours a week as a pharmacist, and that got old. And finally, mid-career, when I was 40, I took up chimney sweeping because I loved the outdoors. And I told people I'm probably the only pharmacist chimney sweeper in the country, and I ran it myself. I hired no one, and if I didn't feel like going out one day, I didn't go out. So it was a great, great advantage. But that got pharmacy had to be I had to make a decision, and pharmacy was the correct decision. But you mentioned health education. I've been that all my life. I'm an avid reader, and I try to read the last information on health. And the thing about the internet, we have a lot of information, but we also have a lot of misinformation. You try to get to people. One lady came in the store one time, and she said something she read in one of the tabloids, and I said, "Well, that's a tabloid. do you believe everything in a tabloid?" Well, evidently she did. They made a preposterous claim. And there's still some snake oil salesmen out there. I just saw a full page in our Inquirer a couple days ago about a drug that was recommended by the pharmacist of the year. And then so I tried to find out who is this guy, and what's it's over the counter, evidently, and but there's no, the Better Business Bureau, they won't answer questions about it, right? And one researcher, I get the health letter from Harvard and also John Hopkins, and one interviewer said, probably won't do any harm, but nothing's It's been proven, you know, we can't verify any of the claims. So,
oh,
you know, this is a problem for people when they see all these ads. And, of course, mm-hmm. you know, the pharmaceutical ads, too, are enormous and certainly tend to be misleading. They create problems that don't exist and say, well, we have just asked your doctor if this is good for you or if it's right for you. And unfortunately, quite a few doctors will they want to please the patient, too.
Sure.
So they'll cave in and, okay, try it.
You know, and I see all the time in all the magazines weight loss snake oil situations where they're offering all kinds of pills and potions. This is just such an unfortunate thing because so many people are looking for that miracle, that quick pill, aren't they?
Quick, fast, like, you know, burn fat overnight while you sleep. I heard that one, and that's fantastic. And you'll see more of those right in January because people, on average, pick up a few pounds over the holidays. But beware of that. And we get older, as you know. We exercise less and eat more or eat the same way. And you have to cope with that. But I advise people, find something you love to do. With exercise, and my advice to anybody over 65 is at least be walking. If you want to be healthier and feel better at the same time.
Well, you know, it's so tough for all the people that are listening to us who are in the cold weather and can't get outside as easily, whether it's snow or ice. What do you tell them about exercise? What should they do?
Well, unfortunately, I fell into that regime about buying stuff, sticking it in the basement, and I understand this is typical. You don't use it. I do find when I go to the exercise room, at least I will concentrate and spend all my time and intensity there because that's why I went there. But there's something about exercise in the home that many times doesn't work, except flexibility. That is very easy to do, even lying down. To do flexibility exercises works for me.
Well, you know, as I said at the introduction, my husband just had knee replacement surgery. And, of course, he's in therapy and going up and down stairs and riding a stationary bicycle and doing all of those things. And the reality is once you're past 65 and into your 70s, if you don't use it, basically you're going to lose it, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's like anything else, and I think most people know this, but the idea is how to do it, how to make it easier. I tell them, find something you enjoy, because then you'll stick with it, whatever that is. My wife, it's aquasize. And it's sociable, too. It's 3 times a week, and that's sort of the minimum. I said, why don't you walk in between those days? That would even help you into better, but she hasn't picked up on my advice yet on that.
Well, you know,
be a fanatic.
Well, the aquasize is fantastic because you're in the water and you don't have stress on your joints and you get a complete workout. Of course, you know, you have to have access to a facility that has an indoor pool if you're in cold weather. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from some of our sponsors, one of whom is Nick. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what we can do to have a healthier 2014. And we're going to talk about Americans taking too many drugs. We'll be right back with Nick Hazel.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.com. www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
Welcome back with our wonderful sponsor, Nick Hazel, the author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice, a book that I highly recommend and one that we will be referring to throughout this interview. Now, Nick, let's talk what are some of the practical, easy things that we can do today as we're speaking to have a healthier 2014?
Okay, well, first of all, I think the answer is diet and exercise for most people, even if you're not overweight, because it makes you feel better. It increases the circulation. It lowers cholesterol all the way down the line. And of course, in dieting, there's so many choices today that it should be easier for us than it is for people in a lot of the other countries. Of course, you know, we like our fat foods. As a matter of fact, restaurants are slowly catching on to this by introducing some lower calorie diet and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it used to be that low fats were the way to go. The trouble is those foods like granola and so forth, they picked up on the sugar instead of that, and that turns to fat. And carbohydrates too. So it was a low fat, high carbohydrate that went out the window.
Gone.
That was it.
Yeah. So now, what are your thoughts about sugar? Because is it as bad as everyone tells us?
Well, there's granular sugar, of course. Mm-hmm. Try to avoid that if you can. Many times it's impossible, especially if you're out on the road or traveling. But the situation is when you take sugar, the granular, the white sugar, it goes right to your in your body, and you get sort of this instant high, and then it's gone, and you're craving more.
Oh, yeah.
Where the natural sugars in fruits and fruit juices and so forth that don't have that, including, of course, corn syrup, soda pop, and so forth.
Yeah.
That, of course, doesn't hang around. I mean, rather the natural ones, you know, have staying power.
Yeah.
So they will enable you to get through without even snacking in between meals. The French evidently know this. They don't snack between meals, and they love fatty foods, from what I've told. Mm-hmm. Except that I understand that some of the big American fast food chains are making some inroads, so maybe they'll be just like us.
Now, what about stevia? This is a natural sweetener that I've become accustomed to, and I really like it. Have you heard about people using stevia?
Sweeter, did you say?
Stevia.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, stevia is from a natural plant. You'll have to look it up before we do our next show. And you can, it's quite expensive, but you really only need a drop or two, and it's a natural sweetener that doesn't give you that roller coaster ride that sugar does.
How do you spell that?
S-T-E-V-I-A, stevia.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a natural plant. Now, what are your thoughts on, we see everyone now, every market I go into, every store I go into, all I ever see now is organic, organic, organic. What are your thoughts about organic cooking and organic shopping?
Well, I'm somewhat skeptical. I think the theory is good.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you pay more for it.
Mm-hmm.
And until it's, I guess, proven that it is truly organic.
Yeah.
We have maybe inspectors there watching people. I'm a bit skeptical. I think the theory is good, though, and I don't want to criticize it right offhand. I think more needs to be studied on it, and a lot of people just swear by it, and I don't try to talk them out of it.
Okay. Well, I can see that diet and exercise are two of the biggest components for a healthier 2014. Is there, of course, is there anything else you want to add to that list?
Well, how about a laugh a day keeps...
that's a doctor away. Okay. And there's a lot to be said for that, isn't there?
Yes. I mean... I have some at the end of the show to tell you how to do this, how to create more humor in your life. But okay. Look for it. You know, it's out there. And don't expect others to make you laugh. Be the instigator of laughter. Keep read laughter books, of course. Naturally, I have an interest there. try to find, even in things that are stressful, try to look on the bright side of it. I guess people have called me an optimist, maybe, I hope not a cockeyed optimist, but there are some people. And try to avoid people that are down all the time, always complaining, because it can rub off on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a compulsive smiler, and I know you are, and we're both a couple of laughters. And one of our organizations that we promote is the AATH, America Association of Applied Therapeutic Humor, where we actually will be doing a convention this year that we'll talk about later. It's good to seek out people who are positive and trying to be happy. The negativity will take you down faster than anything. Don't you agree?
It's contagious.
Yes.
It's a good contagion.
Yes, definitely. Now let's talk a little bit about Americans taking too many drugs, and we hear about this all the time. And why is that, and what can we do to reverse this?
Okay, because I'm almost going into my 60th year as a pharmacist, I guess we'll never stop learning, and I try to add to the knowledge that I had. I can go back and tell you what changed, let's say, how they changed our outlook on things like butter and coffee and chocolate and everything else. And I guess seeing people every day, the pharmacist sees more people who are sick than any other medical profession.
Really?
In a day's time.
Uh-huh.
And it's a chance to talk with them. And I love this. As a matter of fact, some of the busy pharmacists today, they have hardly any time to converse with the pharmacist. They're just, you know, it's getting the product out, filling more and more and less time. That seems to be the trend today. But I would prefer people went to find a pharmacist and stick with one that knows your records, that can give you advice, that can help you talk out of drugs. I've done this many times, saying one time somebody came in, he says, what are these vitamins good for? And he bought about a dozen or more and put them off. And I tried to go through them, and I take all these.
That's difficult.
Because they all have their specific, supposedly specific uses, and in large quantities, of course, and some people fall for that. Remember Jack LaLanne?
Oh, yes, yes.
Of course, he lived to be a ripe old age, but he loaded himself with vitamins, and I thought, I don't think the vitamins helped him that much. He was really into exercise, so there's no doubt about that.
Well, that probably added years to his life. You know, I'm looking at your book, and on page 43, you have drug abuse, drug bust, drug combination, and drug names. Let me just read a little bit about drug abuse. Alcohol, pot, tobacco, and other drugs do away with half of mankind, but without these, the other half would die. And those baby boomers who used to take acid, they now take antacids.
Oh, yes.
And drug legalization, a cop-out. Illegal drug, one administered to a sick bird, some sick birds are better tweeted by quack doctors. This is such a fabulous page. And Drug Bus was an unexpected narc at the door.
I spent a lot of time on research. I try to find everything I can. And, of course, you're probably going to ask me, too, what are my feelings about pot?
Yeah, because now we're getting so much about it being legalized.
I've studied it all my life. As a matter of fact, I had, in the 60s, they had, that's when the hippies were around, and the drug culture, and I volunteered at a free clinic just to, one of the reasons is to help them find their way. And the other one was to, they weren't particularly interested in cutting down on their drugs, and some of them fared fairly well with them. With the marijuana, if you want my opinion, it can be misused, and I think it's our prohibition of today. I certainly believe in the medical use of it, but somebody, other people say, oh no, that's slippery slope.
Yeah.
Well, but what about all the people in prison? Most, the vast majority believe that it should be decriminalized. To spend time and locking people up for the use is just really asinine in my mind. But it's safer than tobacco and alcohol, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And about the same amount, I understand, will become maybe somewhat addicted to it, but the addiction isn't the fact that they're going to steal things or commit crimes or even overdose and kill themselves with it. So let's say it's a lesser of two evils. But I think we're going to find out what's happening in Colorado and Washington as a test case, and to see where we go from there. But in the meantime, I would hope that other states would allow the medical use of it, because I think it is a valuable drug in that sense. That's where I'm coming from on that.
Well, I'm right there with you, because I have had a dear friend who had terminal colon cancer, and she, at the end, she was able to have medical marijuana, and I have to tell you, it really helped her get through this horrible illness and disease. So I'm right there cheering that on. And as far as the legalization, I think we don't know the answer to that, but it's going to be a very interesting thing to track and see how it goes for this country and for everyone. And I agree with you. It's tragic, the young lives that are imprisoned because of marijuana use.
Not to be misunderstood, we're talking only about marijuana. Some say, well, legalize all drugs. No.
Okay. Gotcha on that one. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from two of our other sponsors. And when we come back, I want to talk with Nick about the pharmaceutical companies and how it's been as a pharmacist dealing with them and what insight he can give our listeners. We'll be right back with Nick Hazel.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
I'm happy to share with our listeners that Pam Evans' book is fantastic, and she will be on the show later this month to share her good news. Also, I'm looking forward to sharing Dale Bruner with all of you in the upcoming days. We're visiting with my friend Nick Hazel, and we're talking about drug abuse in this country and what has been going on. I just saw, Nick, two interesting movies. I saw The Wolves of Wall Street, which was very R-rated, and there was all kinds of drug abuse in that. I also just saw a movie called Dallas Buyers Club, and that was about what happened in the 60s when the HIV/AIDS epidemic just started out and people didn't really realize what that was all about. Now, you've worked with pharmaceutical companies all your life. Give us your thoughts.
Okay, well, there's no doubt that we take entirely too many drugs. We're looking like people waiting for a pill for every ill. And it's really a false analogy if something else works. Now, I'm naturally, all my life, I've made my living dispensing drugs and prescriptions, but we have to be reasonable. And part of it, I think we're all to blame. Doctors are to blame, patients are to blame, and certainly people in my professions, and pharmaceutical companies are to blame. I suppose when you go to a doctor and he prescribes something, I had, I have an incident myself. I'm not taking any drugs now, but I went to my regular doctor wasn't in, and it was a physician's assistant in his place, and I thought, oh, I hope this is going to go okay. And she wanted to give me a drug for high blood pressure. I said, well, they just checked in the hall, and it was normal. And she says, well, it's not here. Then I said, well, maybe that's white coat hypertension, you know, trying to get a laugh out of her. And I says, I don't think so. Right away, you know, I put up my guard. I said, first of all, if I had high blood pressure, which I'm sure I don't, you wouldn't start off with a high blood pressure. You would go with a diuretic, a water pill, like hydrothiazide. And she said, oh, that's not for your age. And then I said, but even if that was your indication, first of all, I would say, give me 3 months to get it down. 3 to 6 months, and we'll see, and then we'll decide. As a result, you know, I wondered how many people would not confront the doctor like that, because they think he knows, he or she knows everything. Now, I'll mention my wife, who she's on a cholesterol drug, and she always gets confused with milligrams of one drug compared to another cholesterol drug, which is entirely different, you know, in milligrams, and they're not comparable milligram weight-wise. And she says, well, I don't think I need this. I said, go to your doctor and tell him then that you want to take maybe 6 months and see what if it goes down, and you'll take some intermediate steps yourself to get it down. Oh, I couldn't do that. She would rather, I don't know if she still feels this way, but at that time I talked to her, she thought that she'll just take it every other day. It says, oh, no, don't skip medicine and then go back to your doctor and say, oh, we have to give you something stronger. Say, so, you know, be honest with yourself and the doctor.
Oh, that's so important. You know, in your book on page 94, you talk about, this is very interesting, it says, an internist is someone who knows everything and does nothing. A surgeon is someone who does everything and knows nothing. A pathologist is someone who knows everything and does everything too late.
Doctors do like my book, too.
They do like your book,
See, I make fun of all the health professions, including my own, and of course I make fun of Love and Life also. But I've got one right in front of me that we talked about before, about, I call it pillage.
Okay.
Or pillage, whatever you want. Anyway, I used to scoff at Papa for the many pills he popped. Papa's gone. Now I'm a popper too, and I'm going to keep on popping like my papa, till I drop. I'd opt to stop, but that would not be quite the proper thing to do.
Well,
there's about 140 poems in my book out of 1,300 definitive doses, definitions in it, and the poem will come at the end of the definition.
Your book is fantastic, and while we're talking about it, let's share with our listeners your website and how they can get your book. It's a great, great book to share with people who are in the hospital or have an illness, because this book is a guaranteed laugh on every single page, and on some pages, a lot more than just one laugh. Share that information, please, Nick.
Okay. It took me a long time to find out that my niche market is hospital gift shops.
It is
available in bookstores and on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but the hospital gift shops is where I think it's really neat. If you're looking at something to take up to a patient that just entered and you don't know what to give them, they can pick it up and put it down very quick. And
that's
humor will improve their condition. There's no doubt. It's been proven. It's www.laughterdoc, that's the word laughter, D-O-C after it.
Okay.
.com. And if they'd like to email me, I'm at nhoesl@yahoo.com.
Okay. Now let's talk about hospitalization. I've just gone through this with my husband, as I said earlier. Everyone at some point in their life has this hospital experience. What can you tell my listeners that will make it easier for them to get through a difficult time for everyone? Don't you agree?
Yes, because you never know. I actually I try to take my humor into the hospital with the nurses and the orderlies, and they treat you better. It's sort of like going to a restaurant, and if you treat the waiter and joke around with him, they'll treat you better.
That's
the way it works. But it's a humbling experience, and I think you mentioned you knew Dr. Bernie Siegel.
He's been on the show many times. I adore
author
him.
Author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles. He said that every doctor should be a patient in a hospital for a week. And I had my turn, and it is a humbling experience, and actually you get a lot out of it. There's some, in the book I have some things on that, some funny things about the hospital, how about hospital preparation? My definition is lay on the front lawn, dressed in paper napkins, with straws stuck up your nose, and ask people to poke you as they go by. Now, if you say that when you get in there, they're bound to laugh.
that's a for sure. We're gonna take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Nick, I'd like to finish up on page 72 and page 73 in his book, and we will talk more about hospitalization and how you can get through it with laughter, the drug of choice. We'll be right back with Nick Hazel.
Met someone who was unforgettable. Someone who has touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life
who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Next week, Tom and Grecia will be on the show and featuring one of the chapters in One Door Closes. And I'm happy to have a priceless personality on our show today, Nick Hazel, who has been on the show before, and he has written a fantastic book, Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Before we took the break, Nick, we were talking about hospitalizations, and I was just going to read a few things from page 72 in your book, Hospital. A place where a private room has nothing to do with privacy. It's like a convent, the hospital. You leave the world behind and you take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Absolutely.
I love it. And then you have Groucho Marx saying, a hospital bed, a park taxi with the meter running. So funny.
How about hospital gown?
The
end of hospitality. The first
okay.
thing you learn from a hospital stay that you're not fully covered by the insurance or your gown.
Oh, that's great.
And then there's a question, why are hospital gowns open in the back?
Yeah.
Because they are easily accessible and they are ICU gowns.
It's so funny. Yeah, I mean, this is a book, is a must book for anyone who is in the hospital. A hospital chart, you say, a patient is to remain plastered for the next 6 to 8 weeks, and a patient is a smoker, so will be admitted to a smoking bed. And while in the ER, she was examined, x-rated, and sent home. I love that one. How long did it take you to write this wonderful book?
Well, I started about 12 to 15 years ago, and I was just going to give a pamphlet to my friends. I collected things since I got out of college and stuck them in my pocket when I was in a drugstore. They called them drugstores back then. And a patient, a doctor, another pharmacist, they'd say something, and I thought, oh, I got to save that. You know, it's good conversation, especially startup conversation.
Yeah.
And I just collected it, and my first book was the first humorously medical dictionary, a thin 96 pages. This one, of course, is an outgrow of that, which is about 104 times that much. But it's a work in process, and this year was my fourth edition, so I'm constantly working on it, and it's easy to add to and improve. Sometimes I take a few things out that are maybe a bit dated for people my age and put something more pertinent in there.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing to have the fourth edition. Now, we haven't mentioned your age, and I know you're not shy about talking about it. You will be celebrating your 80...
This year, it's
82nd birthday. Wonderful.
Do you believe it? I played tennis doubles today with a guy 96 years old.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. And,
is that great?
He was a bit slow, but I said, I'll bet you play smarter than a lot of the other ones, which he does. You get older, you got to play smarter.
Smarter.
You can't move so fast. But that is a record, I think. I don't know of anybody else like that.
Oh, that's amazing. And you pretty much try to play every day, don't you?
Well, I'm mixing it up because I have to use flexibility. If you do all one thing, you're going to have risk injury. Then you have to go to the hot tub and or in the pool and work it out. But I play volleyball in the winter. Now indoor tennis once a week. They asked me twice. I said no, once is enough. And then I do. I'll take a long walk to split that up. And then I'm doing interval training. There's a new thing that just came out. It was I was ahead of the game here. It's called HIIT, high intensity instantaneous training, where you exert yourself. It's sprinting actually,
Really?
And I tried it. I got back in the Senior Olympics this year after a 10-year absence, and I found out that my legs are still good from my marathon days. And I won locally here, three golds. Then I went to Canton, Ohio, where the state championship, I picked up three there in the 50, 100, 200, 400-yard dash. And next year, I hope I'm going to qualify for the Nationals in Minneapolis. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow,
it's
that
only
is
10 minutes a day.
Oh, that's
it's
exciting.
High intensity, but only 10 minutes a day.
And now, are you doing this with a group or just on your own?
On my own, yeah. And, and luckily, Cincinnati has hills, so I have hills where I live, and that's good. That's good for running up and down hills.
Well, that's very exciting. The Senior Olympics, and when will the Nationals be?
It's next summer, I believe, July, in Minneapolis. Not this coming summer. I have to go back to Canton, Ohio, to qualify for the Nationals, which is every other year. So in 2015, it's in Minneapolis.
July. Well, you know, Nick, we have just a few minutes to share. When you're talking about your wonderful life, your active life, when you look back on it, do you have any regrets about anything?
I guess if I would have to have any, I got such a slow start. I was rather shy, and they call me a late bloomer now. I've never participated in any sports, and I took up running when I was 40 to lose weight, and I ran Boston, New York, the Marine Corps Marathon, and several others, and I ran a 50 ultra marathon in Chicago, which is 50 miles, 10 and a half hours, and I had something in the genes, evidently, that I was lucky with, but I never knew this. I used to do limbo. You know what that is? You go under a bar, and I used to win a couple things in Florida when I got out of school. But I should have sensed from there I had, you know, something going there, but I never did. Slow to catch on. I'm very slow to catch on.
Well, you certainly have made up for lost time, and it's been wonderful to be able to share you, because your information is important and intelligent, and it's inspirational for our listeners to hear someone who's 82, who's out there putting it on the line every day, writing a fantastic book that I hope all of you will get. It's called Laughter, the Drug of Choice. And Nick will be back visiting again with us next month. And I'm thinking we're going to go A through Z in Laughter, the Drug of Choice with Nick, and talk about all sorts of fabulous topics. Nick, thank you for coming on the show, and we look forward to having you again.
Thank you.
To our wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this show today. Isn't he amazing? He really is an inspirational guest. My upcoming guests for the show are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Nick. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you become successful and will help you to become healthier in 2014. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you out there to emulate our guests like Nick today and every day. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Nick Hazel. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.